Allah, Allah, start your day with remembrance of Allah. Start your day with remembrance of Allah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen, amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulullah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah. Honorable listeners and viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to another wonderful episode on the silsila, The Early Echo. Alhamdulillah Azawajal, we have another topic of discussion for you, for the Muslims out there, in order to derive some enlightenment, some inspiration as well. So wherever you are, whichever continent, whichever city or country, whatever season you are experiencing, we hope that you are well and that you are safe. Subhanallah Azawajal, once again we have in studio to share some Madani pearls of advices our respected Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Qadir Mu'ini Qadri, mashallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How's Mawlana Sahib keep?
Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. How is Mawlana Sahib doing?
Alhamdulillah, shukr.
Mashallah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Well, today we have a wonderful topic of discussion. Today we will be talking about the excellent manners of the Husseini caravan, Husseini qafila, subhanallah azawajal. This is so important for you and I that we know about in some detail, that we know what transpired, how it transpired, who was in the right, who was in the wrong, so that we derive lessons. This is why we keep talking about the Sahaba Ikram, alayhim ridwan, the Ahlul Bayt Athar, the Awliya Allah, we have the urs and we have such programs and functions in order to keep their names, their lives evergreen and ever fresh. And we derive lessons from there. If we stop this, then what will happen to the next generations? You think they'll really know about it? You think they'll really know about the sacrifices, the real sacrifices that have taken place by the Sahaba alayhim ridwan and the Ahlul Bayt Athar? They will forget, they won't even know the names of those glorious individuals who are regarded as our heroes in Islam, who are our role models and our leaders as well. Before we proceed, let's make some good intentions. Let's recall the beautiful hadith, Niyatul Mu'mini khayrun min amalihi. The intention of a believer is better than his action. Let's make intentions that, Ya Allah Azawajal, I'm watching, I'm listening to this silsila of Madani channel for your ridha, for your pleasure and happiness, for the pleasure of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What I learn, I will try to practice upon it and convey this message to others. When I hear the glorious name Allah, I will say, Jalla Jalaluhu, O Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, O Azza wa Jal. When I hear the blessed name of Rasulullah, I will say, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If I hear the name of any Sahabi, I will say, Radiallahu anhu. And if I hear the name of any pious person, any wali, I will say, Rahmatullahi alayhi. So in this manner, whatever other good intentions you can think of, make it now. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, there are so many wonderful, beautiful bounties, benefits and blessings for the fortunate Muslims who recite abundant amount of Durood-e Pak, salawat or salutations upon the cause of creation, the cream of creation, the crown of creation, the owner of Jannah, the knower of the unseen, the intercessor of the Ummah, our most merciful master, the last prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One day, Sayyiduna Ubay bin Ka'ab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Sahabi al-Jaleel, one of the senior Sahaba, whom in the Khilafat of the second Khalifa of Islam, Sayyiduna Umar radiyallahu anhu, he was appointed as the Imam for Taraweeh Salah, because he was a great Hafiz and a great Qari as well. So he is the narrator of this hadith and he says, he asks, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I recite Salat ala Nabi, Durood-e Pak, abundantly. For how long should I recite Durood-e Pak upon you? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, as much as you want. I humbly asked, 1/4? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, as much as you want, but if you recite more, it is better. I humbly asked, what about half, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He replied, as much as you want, but to recite more is better. Allahu Akbar. Then I said that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will recite Durud-e-Pak upon you all the time. Whatever free time and spare time I have, I'll use that in only sending Durud-e-Pak upon you. Allahu Akbar. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then replied that, then this act of yours will be enough to remove your worries and will become the cause of your forgiveness. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So this is one of the ways. Who doesn't have worries out there and pressure and tension and stress and anxiety? Who doesn't have? We are the normal everyday sinners. We know this. We know ourselves. Allah knows us as well. But here is a way of removing those worries. Here is a way of removing those sins. Yes, we must establish our 5 times salah. We must try our best to dedicate some time to recite Qur'an-e-Pak, Durud-e-Pak, Istighfar, Dhikrullah, and seeking knowledge of Deen from authentic sources. Every day, even if it's 20 minutes, half an hour, according to your ability and according to your timings and circumstances as well. But every day, because those things are going to help us in this world, the grave and the hereafter, inshallah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatu wa salaman alayka ya Sayyidi ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today's topic about the excellent manners of the Husayni caravan. This qafila, this caravan that left from Medina Tayyiba to Makkah Sharif, because the enemies had been plotting and planning. And from Makkah Sharif, they leave towards Iraq, towards Kufa, but they end up in the land of Karbala. Karbobala, meaning the land of anguish and of difficulties and trials. A barren land with no water well. And even the Euphrates River, which is not very far away, was cut off. And for 3 days, this Husayni caravan was without food. Not even one morsel of food. Was without water, not even one drop of water. But what did they do? What was their behavior? What was their demeanor? They still had patience. They still trusted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They still behaved well with each other, subhanallah. We'll also be talking about this glorious caravan, this Husayni caravan, that it started off from Makkatul Mukarramah. And even before that, when the enemies had sent letters to Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, that we will support you, that we will help you, we will defend you. And then he sends his cousin brother, Sayyidina Muslim bin Aqil radiallahu ta'ala anhu, to go and verify. Because Sahaba Ikram were telling Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu that, you know, please don't go. Don't go because these people are known for their betrayal and for breaking their promises as well. And so Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu sends Muslim bin Aqil radiallahu anhu. A little bit on that information, inshallah.
Actually, when Sayyidina Muslim bin Aqil radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he arrived at Kufa, he was welcomed by all those who were there. And alhamdulillah, there was a grand welcome, and in thousands people were in support, and they took the allegiance of Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu via the wakil of Sayyidina Imam Hussein, Sayyidina Muslim bin Aqil, who was there on his behalf representing Imam Hussein. And he took the on behalf of Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, because people of Kufa, they were saying that we would not take the allegiance on the hands of the tyrants of that time. But they sought shelter under, alhamdulillah, the guidance of Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And for that, they wrote the letters. Sayyidina Muslim bin Aqil, on the advice of the Sahaba that were there at the time, the Sahaba advised Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu that it's not wise for you to go there.
Yeah.
Just test the waters first. Just send someone there to find out about the situation. Because these people are there notorious for doing this kind of thing, going back against their words and so on. So Imam Muslim bin Aqil radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he came there and he had the huge support, and immediately when he realized and he saw the turnout, so he wrote to Sayyidina Imam Hussein
that things are favorable here.
Yes, that things are good here, and I found it exactly how I was told in the letters, how you were told in the letters, that they are awaiting your arrival to take oath of allegiance on your hands. After he sent the letter, then there was a change of governance in Kufa. There were spies at work. And the master plan, the devious plan was plotted against Sayyidina Muslim bin Aqil radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And the situation turned almost overnight.
Allahu Akbar.
And from those same people who were ready to place their allegiance on the hand of Sayyidina Hussein, and they did on the hands of Sayyidina Muslim bin Aqil, they all left him. When they saw that things were not in their favor anymore, they all turned against Sayyidina Muslim bin Aqil radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and they assassinated him. And before the word could reach out to Sayyidina Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala from Sayyidina Muslim bin Aqil, who was fighting for his own survival, he did not get to send a message to Sayyidina Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhu that the situation is different now, and the people have indeed betrayed you. So it's not safe for you to travel all the way to Kufa and take oath of allegiance from people here, because they don't deserve it.
Right.
So, however, it happened, and as the events unfolded, the message didn't get to Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And based on the first letter that was, first message that was sent to Sayyidina Imam Hussein, that these people are now prepared, they are ready to receive you. Alhamdulillah, they are in your favor and they want you as their leader and to pledge allegiance on your hand. So Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala left with his family, because he wasn't going on a war, as you know,
well,
some
went
might
with
think.
Women, they went with children, they went with infants.
Yes.
So that itself will tell you they're not going for any violence.
Yes.
They're going with peaceful intentions.
Alhamdulillah. So why would you take your family if you're going on a war?
Exactly.
And people take ammunition and war gears, etc. On a battle, they take armies with them. And here he is living with his family, so he's not at war. And he's impression that things are well here, and I can go there and inshallah take the oath of allegiance, because Sharia, he upheld the Sharia of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and responded to the call of those who were not served with justice. They had unjust ruler over them, and to safeguard them, he wanted to become their savior and alhamdulillah uphold the sunnah and the values of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The scholars mentioned that had he taken pledge of allegiance on the hands of the oppressors and tyrants, then it would justify all the immoral activities.
Yes.
That Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, he is taking the pledge of allegiance, and then those who follow him will do so, and they would feel like, okay, all these immoral things, all this immodest and things against the Sharia are taking place, and this means he condones it. He's justifying it. So Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as Mullah Abdul Qadir Sahib was saying, he was there to uphold the Sharia. Sharia of who? Of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of his grandfather Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. More on that, much more later inshallah, we will try to cover other aspects as well. How their behavior was. Muslim bin Aqil radiallahu anhu, when he was betrayed by those people, it is mentioned, Huzur, that it was Maghrib Salah, and initially there were tens of thousands of people that surrounded the governor's palace. And then group by group, they left towards their tribes. And finally, they ended up with 500 only. About 500 of them were behind Imam Muslim bin Aqil radiallahu anhu for Maghrib Salah. And when he makes his second salam and he turns around, there's nobody left. Not one person was left. Just his two little boys, his two sons, Muhammad and Ibrahim. And you see what happens to them as well. Muslim bin Aqil radiallahu anhu is made a shaheed, a martyr. These two little boys, innocent boys, are made martyrs. But the Ahlul Bayt, they don't scream and shout and curse and do these things. No, they are role models for you and I. More on that later, inshallah. Let's go towards a beautiful kalam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
It is narrated from Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Whosoever recites salat upon me once, Allah Almighty bestows 10 mercies upon him."
Sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Aankhon ka tara naam-e Muhammad, dil ka ujala naam-e Muhammad. Aankhon کا تارا نام محمد دل کا اجالا نام محمد
صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علی محمد.
The most beloved to me is the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Light of my dark heart is the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Poochega maula laya hai kya kya, poochega maula laya hai kya kya, main ye kahunga naam Muhammad dil ka ujala naam Muhammad
sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu ala Muhammad.
When Allah will ask, what have you brought, I will then say the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
دولت جو چاہو دونوں جہاں کی, دولت جو چاہو دونوں جہاں کی, کر لو وظیفہ نام محمد دل کا اجالا نام محمد
صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علی محمد.
If you desire the wealth of both worlds, keep mentioning the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Rakho lahad mein jis dam aziz ho, rakho lahad mein jis dam aziz ho, mujhko sunana naam-e Muhammad dil ka ujala naam-e Muhammad
sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu ala Muhammad.
O my dear ones, when you lay me to rest in my grave, do remember to mention the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
اپنے رضا کے قربان جاؤں, مرشد پیا کے قربان جاؤں, جس نے سکھایا نام محمد دل کا اجالا نام محمد
صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علی محمد.
May I sacrifice my life for Raza, who taught the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anko katara name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The most beautiful, the most blessed name in this world is none other than the name of our beloved master, the beloved of Allah Azza wa Jal, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We had the beautiful sights of Medina Tayyiba, zadahullahu sharafa wa ta'zima. We made didar and we had the vision of our Amir Ahl Sunnah, Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliyah, subhanallah. A beautiful recitation. These recitations are there to infuse love in our hearts for the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not just for him, but for Sahaba Ikram, for Ahlul Bayt, for Awliya Allah and the pious people as well. We are talking about the excellent manners of the Husseini caravan, the Husseini qafila, subhanallah azza wa jal. And we went through already, in very brief actually, about Muslim bin Aqeen radiallahu ta'ala anhu. How was he treated? How he was abandoned? How he was betrayed? But yet he didn't curse anybody. He didn't scold and scream and shout at anybody. He did not enact any violence on anybody. Because he knew that, you know, he is part of Ahlul Bayt. So he has a responsibility. He's a role model. Because people later on down the line are going to talk about this incident and derive lessons from there. And likewise, when Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu leaves Makkatul Mukarramah Zadallahu Sharafa wa Ta'zeema, and he goes with his family members, and for 3 days he doesn't have any food to eat, he and his family and little baby Ali Asghar radiallahu anhu, and for 3 days there's no water to drink, they still keep their patience, they keep their sabr, and they continue their salahs as well. This is something I want you to think about. When any difficulty comes, enters into my life, when any problem, maybe I lose a loved one, maybe myself I end up getting sick, severely sick, bedridden, something happens, financially I take a knock, whatever it may be, at those moments in my life, do I still have hope in the mercy of Allah? Do I still keep patience? Do I still perform my salah? Do I still show shukr to Allah Azza wa Jal? Because I met much better off than so many other people out there. So these are some of the lessons we can derive if only we implement it in our lives. Just, you know, listening about it, reading about it is not sufficient. If we are true Husainis, if we are true lovers of Sahaba and Ahlul Bayt, then it is our responsibility, our duty to practice upon it. So yes, they had their patience, they were persevered, and they relied on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At several points, Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, once his son, Sayyidina Imam Ali Awsat radiallahu an, commonly known as Sayyidina Imam Zainul Abidin radiallahu an, his son asked him that, "My dear father, are we not on haqq? Are we not on the truth?" Why was he saying this? Because in the dream, Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "I saw a rider. He was calling out and making an announcement that these people are traveling on this pathway. They were on their way to actually Karbala. They're traveling on this pathway and death is following them close behind."
Allah.
This is when he says, "Are we not on the truth?" His father says, "Absolutely, we are on the truth." And Imam Zainul Abidin radiallahu anhu, look at his mindset. He says, "Then what do we have to fear? If we are the truth, we don't have to fear death. So do I have this? Do I have this ability to say that as well? Or am I afraid of death because of the sins I commit? Because of the attachment I have in my heart for this dunya, for the greed of the dunya?" When Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu was, he and his family on one side, and on the other side, there are 10, 20,000 of the enemy soldiers. But still he rides out to them. Before riding out to them, he addresses his own people, his own companions and family. And you know what he tells them? He tells them that, you know, "Tomorrow we are going to be martyred. I give you all permission to leave, to go. You all are safe. They want me. If they have me, they will be satisfied." But each one, and this is where huzur loyalty comes in. Loyalty to Allah and His Rasul, obedience to Allah and His Rasul. They turn around and say, "How can we see you fall as a martyr and we must be alive?" Sayyidina Abbas Alamdar radiallahu anhu, he also stood up and said, "No, not possible. We can never forsake you." So this is where loyalty comes in. If I'm loyal to Ahlul Bayt, it means I have to be loyal to Sahaba Ikram. I have to be loyal to Allah and His Rasul Azza wa Jalla wa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, he rides out and he addresses the enemy soldiers, because amongst them are those that wrote the letters. And he calls them out by their names, that "You so and so, son of so and so, you wrote me this letter, you wrote me this letter, you wrote me this letter." And he carried the letters in a sack with him. He said, "I have the letters with me as proof." And subhanAllah, every one of them is silent. Regarding obedience to Allah and His Rasul, that if I claim to be obedient and loyal to Ahlul Bayt, it necessitates that I have to be obedient to Allah and His Rasul, Sahaba Ikram as well.
Because Allah and Rasul taught us the love for Ahl Bayt and the respect for Ahl Bayt.
SubhanAllah,
SubhanAllah. So definitely, why not? Because in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, "Qul la as'alukum alayhi ajra illa al-mawaddata fil qurba," meaning, say, it was a command to the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to tell the people that a summary of the ayah is, "I do not seek any remuneration for whatever services I've done, except for one thing, that you must love my Ahlul Bayt.
Subhanallah.
So a Sahabi came to the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, who are you Ahlul Bayt that about them their love has been prescribed upon us in the Holy Quran?
Ji.
So the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him that they are Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha, and their children Sayyidina Imam Hassan and Hussein. Subhanallah. So it was that their love was taught by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they served the Ahlul Bayt to keep in their best interest. Before their own interest, they kept the integrity of the Sunnah of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the command of the Holy Quran. Even while he was in dialogue with the enemy forces that wanted, that were thirsty for his blood. How did he advise them? He recited before them the Holy Quran.
Subhanallah.
As a final word of advice for them, he recited the Holy Quran. Subhanallah. That was his last conversation that he had with them. And even then, he's, as Mohsab has mentioned, that he reminded them of the letters that they wrote to him. They all denied. They all denied.
Allah.
We never wrote any letters to you. What are you saying? He said, no. That's a lie. Am I going to lie to you? Meaning Ahlul Bayt, are they going to tell a lie?
Allah.
It was unimaginable for Ahlul Bayt to tell a lie. Whereas they all turned their backs. They said, no, we never wrote any letters to you. He said, well, you wrote the letters, therefore I'm here. I'm not here to fight.
Right.
And this is not the reason that I'm here. I was here to safeguard you and to take you out of, you know, the false allegiance that was there, and to take your bayah and oath of allegiance from you. Because Sayyidina Hussain radiallahu ta'ala, who, as it is the coined, the term is coined, and it is famous share of Farsi, that Sardad Nadad Dastar Dasti Yazid. Sayyidina Hussain radiallahu ta'ala, he rather chose to give his head but not his hand in the hands of Yazid.
Well, dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, you know, there's actually so much more that we can talk about, but we will advise you, there are many books, there's many booklets as well on DawoodIslami.net that you can download, the blessings of Ahlul Bayt, the Husseini caravan, and so forth, the Husseini groom, etc. There's about 4 or 5 different booklets, and try to download them. It's a free download. Read them. Don't just read them to yourself. Read them to your children and your grandchildren as well. They have to know this. This is our heritage. This is our history, Islamic history. And if we don't teach it, then where else are they going to learn all of this? And subhanAllah Azza wa Jal, Imam Hussain radiallahu anhu, he did not come to display any violence. He was a peaceful person. This is the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He tries to make their mind, as Mullah Abdul Qadir Sahib is mentioning, he tries to make their mind, he tries to still advise the enemy soldiers. In fact, the commander of the enemy force, he goes to him and he says, you know, I have 3 propositions. And either one you can accept so that we have truce, we have peace, we can establish peace. And when that commander of the enemy force, when he reads those 3 proposals, or propositions, he becomes happy. He says, yes, we can work on this. And Allahu Akbar, what were those 3? One was that you allow us to return because these people have forsaken us. They're not interested. Let us return. Otherwise, take us to a border region, away from Kufa, away from Sham, away from Makkah Sharif. Let us live there quietly. We won't get involved. And thirdly, I am willing, Imam Hussain radiallahu anhu wrote that, I am willing to travel all the way to meet face to face with the tyrant leader and discuss and resolve the matter. When he sends a letter to the governor of Kufa, he reads it and he says, something we can work on. At least one of these things we can accept. So there is no violence. But there was a waswasa from one of his advisors that advised him, if you listen to one, if you follow one of these proposals, then you are showing weakness. Lord, the governor, Imam Hussain radiallahu anhu, he has no power, he has no influence, he has no standing in society. What power does he have? You are the governor and he's on your land and he's giving you these proposals. The governor of Kufa says, you're right. Further, he gives more waswasa and whispers, evil whispers. Shaitan used him as a tool. And he says, if you let him go, tomorrow he will amass a huge army and he will overthrow all of us. And then he decided that, okay, you're right. And he changed his decision. And this is where they decided that, no, we want to annihilate this Ahlul Bayt. We want to remove them because they are not pledging allegiance on the hands of the tyrant leader. Allah protect us from the tyrants of today. Don't we have the tyrants today? Don't we have the oppressors today? We think slavery is gone. Slavery still exists in different forms. We think oppression is gone. Look at the world today. We are so technologically advanced, so sophisticated, yet there are still people dying because of starvation. There's still people don't have access to clean drinking water. There are still people who don't have a roof over their head and they're sleeping on the streets. What kind of societies we have? Even in the so-called first world countries, go and see how many people have their tents outside and are sleeping on the streets. That are literally digging in the bins to find their next meal. And we think like, oh, you know what, we are so advanced. This is called advancement. Subhanallah Azza wa Jalla. Look at the wars that are taking place in the world. Allahu Akbar. People are fighting for natural resources. What kind of peace do we have? We have oppressors left, right and center. I mean, we have oppressors, like history always had it. The flag of Islam always was raised high by the Ahlul Bayt, by the Sahaba Ikram alayhim ridwan, for peace, for harmony, so that we can all coexist. Live and let live. But we have to know our deen. We have to also practice our deen. Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, when he addresses the enemy forces, the enemy soldiers, all those who betrayed him and his family, subhanallah azza wa jal, you know what he tells them? One of the things he tells them that, you know, you'll know who I am. Look to my nasab, to my lineage, that who is my mother? Who is my father? Who are my grandparents? Look towards the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in some of the hadith that myself and my brother Hassan radiallahu an are the leaders of the youth of Jannah. Don't you recall this hadith? Don't you remember this? And he even tells them, he's trying to make their mind because he doesn't want any violence. And he tells them, if you think I'm lying about this hadith and others, then go to Makkah Sharif today. Go right now. Go to Madinah Tayyibah, subhanallah, and verify with Sahaba Ikram who are still alive. Sayyidina Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, Sayyidina Abbas as well. But again, silence, like it's all falling on deaf ears. Because their hearts were sealed and they did not receive guidance from Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. We have a beautiful filler. Let's go and watch the filler. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A person presented himself in the blessed court of the noble Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and humbly asked, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, other than Ramadan, which month should I keep fasts in? He sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam stated, after Ramadan, if you are to keep fasts in any month, then keep the fasts of Muharram, as this is the month of Allah Almighty. In this month, there is one day in which Allah Almighty accepted the repentance of a nation and will also accept the repentance of others as well. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. The noble Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has stated, after the month of Ramadan, the most superior fasts are the fasts of Muharram, the month of Allah Almighty. And after the Fard Salah, the most superior Salah is that of the night. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Masab, we are on our way to conclusion. Yeah. Any parting Madani pearls of advices?
Well, about the martyrdom of Sayyidina Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala and Husseini caravan in general. Masab was narrating the incident where Sayyidina Hussain radiallahu ta'ala having the last dialogue with the tyrant army that was there, and they were there for one purpose. They weren't there to make peace. But Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala up till his last breath, he maintained peace. So if someone says that Islam and peace, and they have something against it, they must look at the character of Sayyidina Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as he contained and alhamdulillah he kept the peace until his last breath. He said, I'm not here to fight. And not that he was, ma'adallah, he had fear for them. No, he had no fear, because he is the son of Shere Khuda, the lion of Allah, subhanallah. So he has no fear of any army that can come in his way. But
Allahu,
he was at the same time, he was wise, and he had the courage of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Along with the courage of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, he also had the wisdom of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, Babul Ilm. So alhamdulillah, with his wisdom, he tried to convey the message, and he told them that, if you don't like my arrival here, I didn't come here to fight, first of all. If you don't like my arrival here, then no problem, I can go back. I come here in peace, I can go back in peace with my family, and we call it a day. But they were thirsty, they had authorization, they had instruction. They were there only for one purpose, was to assassinate and martyr the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala moves away from guidance, there is no guidance for them. The lesson we can learn from the Husseini caravan is to always maintain peace and to always persevere and keep the integrity of Islam before anything else.
Well, dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, we've heard some Madani pearls with regards to the Husseini caravan, their demeanor, their behavior, their mannerism as well. And above all, stand up for justice. Stand up for what is right. Do not compromise when it comes to the teachings of Islam, when it comes to the values of Islam. And I need to learn about it first, because if I don't know, then how do I stand up for that justice that Islam brings to the front? How do I stand up for peace that Islam wants from us? That we coexist, we tolerate, but still we have our boundaries as well. So learn the deen. Your Dawood Islami, my Dawood Islami provides the platforms, the facilities, even online, to empower us with authentic Islamic knowledge, so we know how to stand up for ourselves, for justice and for peace according to Islamic values. Until next time, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Allah, Allah, start your day with remembrance of Allah. Start your day with remembrance of Allah.